Well, praise God. Amen. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? Let's read some familiar portions of Scripture and dive into the Word a little bit and then read some present-day speaking prophecies. And hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship You and we praise You tonight. The Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, along with those that are watching and many around the world, Lord, we are engaged in an end-time event called the outpouring that is come and the outpouring that shall be. It is at hand. It is where we can reach out and say, thank You, Father. Now, we receive this by prophetic word, by Your word, Your written word, and by prophetic word. We're believing for a billion soul harvest. You've said that to our hearts. It's a compass inside of us that rings true. And Lord, we just love You. We praise You. We pray that You'll continue to prepare us, Lord, against the battle that is raging against the church at large, not only this church, but any church that is moving forward to receive this outpouring. And then, Lord, everything that we personally, Holy Spirit, we look to You, dear Lord, to guide us and to lead us, as Jesus said that You would be sent of the Father to lead and to guide us into all truth. And Holy Spirit, You are the Spirit of truth, and we thank You for it. We thank You for leading and guiding us in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul writes six chapters, and as you've heard me exhort on this before, there's so much in the book of Ephesians that are so very, very powerful. It covers so many different subject matters, and there's at least I counted one time over 40 different instructions in the first 5.5 chapters about speak the truth in love, husbands love your wives, children obey your parents, and all kinds of instructions not to be lazy. All the hard ones, you know, or the ones that will, you know, deal breaker sins. Don't commit adultery. Don't fornicate. All those things. But all of those lead up to all the those 5.5 chapters lead up to the part towards the end. At least, in my way of understanding, where Paul is able to present this incredible package in the Lord of how to walk in the Spirit, crucify the flesh, and then prepare ourselves for a place where we could stand against principalities and powers. The internal battle is with the flesh. The external battle is, of course, with principalities and powers. And, of course, they work to divert the crucifixion of the flesh and the dying of the flesh. But Paul comes to, after 5.5 chapters, he comes to a place in the middle or partway down of chapter 6 where he begins to give us instruction of how to deal with the enemy at large, the enemy of the church, the devil, the accuser, the Satan, the serpent. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, and he is not just writing a salutation, he's also writing a conclusion to all thoughts and matters up to this point. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It's so vitally important for us to understand that we're not going to be able to defeat Satan in his wiles except in the power of Christ's might. And that's where it's so important that we delve into the first 5.5 chapters and look at that in such a way that we're saying, Lord, I'm preparing myself as a vessel of honor so that Your might rests upon me, Your power, Your dunamis power, Your exousia power, which is Your authority, flows through me so that when I meet Him or He meets me, the enemy, he doesn't meet me, he meets Christ in me. And that's what we're believing God for, and that's what we stand for on a continual basis. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, coming to this point, it's no longer a battle of flesh and blood, because the first 5.5 chapters is a continuous battle of putting off, putting on, putting off, putting on. But when you come to this place where you've reconciled that to the point where you're able to be intercessors over a city and stand in the place where we're standing by the grace of God and saying we have authority now to speak into the heavenlies and command these things to begin to fall. Atmosphere, part of atmosphere is the invasion of light, light coming in the midst of darkness. And so God over this region, he's here. But boy, we want him here in such a way is that the darkness is destroyed. It's the ominous of this storm that or this place that's been over this city, this region, or wherever you're at, is vanquished to the point that the Dave used to call it the liquid sunshine would just come into a building. And the glory of God and the presence of God would be so strong that it would earmark what we call the outpouring of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Now, let's just talk about the evil day for just a moment. That's, you know, we can commonly think about that when the test comes. But we're really in the evil day right now. It's not just when your personal test comes, but it's when we're focusing on revival and the enemy says, no, you're not going to have this. And we say, yes, we are. So the battle has ensued in the sense of the word. It's already kicked in. We're not waiting for an evil day to come. We're not waiting for a season. Yes, we know that Satan seeks more convenient seasons at times. But we understand this, that we are already engaged in something that we can say, Lord, all of this is accessible to us because we've already entered into what we could call the fight for Immokalee, the fight for revival. Hallelujah. So he says here in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Well, we're not going to go through all of these, but we've talked about what the breastplate of righteousness is. That is following the dictates of the Spirit, listening, obeying the inner witness, the uh-huhs and the uh-uhs, and what the Word of God, actually the convictions of the Holy Spirit, following that breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, following the direction of peace, letting peace be your guide, letting peace be the direction of the Holy Spirit, following that leadership of the Holy Spirit. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So he's saying, above all, take the shield of faith. Well, what is the shield of faith? It's the Word of God. In the sense of the word, we know it's the Word of God because Jesus used it as a shield of faith against the wickedness of Satan. When he came with those temptations in the wilderness, Jesus' response to him was not to stand there and reason with him, but his response was, it is written, it is written, it is written. So when the fiery darts came, the fiery darts of the wicked, Satan coming at Jesus with, and then he actually tried to reverse it and go and say, well, if it's written this, thus, and thus. But Jesus used the finality of the Word of God. Listen, if you're going to fight with swords and the enemy comes at you with the sword, the Word is perfect. He tries to pervert the Word, but make sure that you've got the anointed sword, which is the Spirit of God anointing and taking away the perverted part of what the enemy's trying to do with the Word of God. And that's what Jesus had. He said, it's written. He lifted up the shield of faith in such a way is that it extinguished what the enemy was trying to do. And we'll find that true every single time in our life. Hallelujah. Listen, I can promise you this. You're not going to win a reasoning battle with the enemy. Okay? Might as well shut that down, stop, and then go to the Word of God and say, okay, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to concentrate on? What is it that you want me to say as a rebuttal to whatever's coming against my life or coming against my emotions, flesh, mind, whatever? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and he says here, the sword of the Spirit. And he says, which is, he identifies, now we've just said that the shield of faith is the Word of God. It's the Word where we speak, it is written, it is written, it is written. But here we find another application for the Word of God, and he calls it the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He identifies and says, it is the Word of God. What is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. And the word here is the word rhema. It's not the word logos. It's the word rhema. And then I'll finish this up in 18. It says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. All prayers, meaning all kinds. He's giving us instruction here. All kinds of prayers is by the leadership of the Holy Spirit going forward. There's different types of prayers. We predominantly spend a lot of time teaching praying in other tongues, but he does want you to present prayers in your language. He wants you to go and intercessory prayers and offer those up under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let's back up for just a moment. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The word there, the word is the word rhema. And the word rhema, according to Thayer's definition, Strong's was good, but Thayer's is, I like even better. It gives us an understanding, especially about why it would say the rhema of God's Word or the sword of the Spirit. Thayer says this, the word rhema means this, that which is or has been uttered by a living voice. The thing spoken, the word. Any sound produced by the voice and having a definite meaning. Speech, discourse, what one has said, a series of words joined together into a sentence, a declaration, I like this, a declaration of one's mind made into words or in words, an utterance, a saying of sort as a message, a narrative concerning some occurrence, subject matter of speech, things spoken of, so far as a matter, that's a lot, right? A matter as it is a matter of a narrative, or I like this, so far as it is a matter of a command. It's a word spoken as a command or a declaration, you might say. It's a matter of dispute or a case at law. Hallelujah. So he's saying, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema, which is the declaring. It is the declaring. It is the command, a matter of command. Take the sword of the Spirit, and then he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Jesus, in his earthly ministry, we see that he not only used the shield of faith, as in once he was attacked, rather than take it on the chin, his rebuttal was, this is what the word says. That's the shield. That's to shield off what has come. We also see that in his earthly ministry, if we take it along the lines of Rhema, that's which was spoken as a narrative to change a matter at the moment, a declarative or declaring something to make things change at the moment. We see many different examples in his earthly ministry. And you could say, well, it was the prayer that he prayed. What you find out when you read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was long in prayer in private, and he was short in words in action, very short. It was almost as if it was always a declarative, a rhema, a sword of the Spirit that instantaneously changed the moment in time for those who were there before him to receive a miracle in their bodies. And here's some good examples. Mark chapter 4, you can turn there with me. Jesus' sword against the elements. He would speak to the he spoke. This is a familiar portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 4. You know, when the storm came up on the sea, they'd crossed. Jesus had spoke the word all day. He gets in the ship. Verse 37. This is Jesus' sword against the elements of nature. Let's look at it. Mark chapter 4, verses 37 through 39. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, this was the sword, peace be still, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The sword of the Spirit against the elements of this, the natural elements, was not for him to stand there, lift his face, and begin to pray to his Father and ask his Father. The sword of the Spirit was instantaneous, and he spoke, peace be still. And this is where we're coming to in this revival and this outpouring, is we're long on prayers in private and short on prayers in public, in action. So that we have the sword of the Spirit, which is a narrative, it's a command, it's from the Holy Spirit, and we just, as Jesus said, peace be still, and it happens present tense. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the day came, we're not calling for any hurricanes. This has been a El Nino year. Praise God. But wouldn't it have been wonderful? And wouldn't it, you know, Dave told me one time, he said, Bronk, the day's going to come. And I, you know, I'm still holding on to that. That, you know, there's an approaching hurricane. It's supposed to hit. And he said, wouldn't it be something for you to be able, or the revivalist, to walk out on, say, look, if you could get their attention, if you could get Wink News or something, say, follow me out on the beach, I'm going to show you something. And it's coming, and you stand there and speak to it, and they see on radar, it may be 150 miles, see that thing dissipate. Now, let me ask you something. Could Jesus do that? Could he do that? We saw that he just did that. I mean, that might not have been a hurricane. It's on the Sea of Galilee, but it's the same principle. Okay, now I know this is fantastic for some of us to think this, but could Jesus do that? I've got an affirmative amen from Glad, and I trust him. He's a man of God. Hallelujah. Walks in the Word of God, filled with the Spirit. But listen, we're reading this. If he could do it, did Jesus say, the same works that I do, you'll do also? Hallelujah. So there's nothing too fantastic in where we're headed, even in elements, even in natural elements, where we can take the sword of the Spirit, which is a command, and say, peace, be still. You can at least now, I found out this, you can at least now over your properties. And I know that Satan is threatened, and there's, you know, there's godly people even in this building that's the enemies, because of their walk, really, more than anything else, has fought this. But what I'm saying is we're coming to a day where that's changed. Hallelujah. That's changed. Where we're going to find out that in the future, because listen, Florida's not had its last hurricane. Not if we live long enough. But we're going to see, okay, we're going to be able to speak stronger over, our properties. But then I believe we're going to see the day come in the midst of revival where we begin to change things on a geographical level. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke to against demonic powers through the sword of the Spirit. Let's go to Matthew 8, verse 28. Hallelujah. Sure. Oh. You want to excuse us? We have an emergency. This is just family. We pray for... Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. Homer's granddaughter, Elijah's daughter, Mia, she has a scooter, one of those electric scooters. Well, I saw, we just need to pray, and I'll explain something later. She's had a severe wreck. Her forehead is, she has a laceration that's an extreme laceration, a broke nose, and they're doing x-rays for other parts. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Those of you that are home hearing this immediate emergency, please. Her name is Mia. She's how old? She's 11 years old. Precious little girl. In the name of Jesus, Mia, I command this laceration to heal immediately in the name of Jesus. Come together, skin on the forehead. I command it to come together and that the pain will go. And that there'll be no concussion against the brain. I command that to go right now. Change in the name of Jesus. And any other in the natural broken parts of your body, I command it change now in the name of Jesus. I release the power of God into your body. And in Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed, little one. Receive that life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Mia's healed, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Comfort the family, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Candy, let her know we just prayed. We'll just keep praying. As the Holy Spirit has you, just pray. Just keep praying for her. Hallelujah. Change. Just saw her yesterday, I believe. Yesterday or the day before, she was out in front of the house on that. Got a lot more scripture here, but I just listening. Just let the Holy Spirit saturate you and flow through you.
Yes, sir.
For the enemy at large is angry against the church, for he knows his days are shortened, not just in my coming, but also in the outpouring. But he'll seek every way he can to come against the home, the family, the children. This is why I'm teaching you, says the Spirit of grace, on how to stand and make your stand. Make your stand in these days, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And you'll find that I'll bring forth a glory that will extinguish the powers of the enemy and divert things even before they come online. Stay in my presence, not just in this night, but going forward into those places of communion, says the Spirit of grace. My idiosete, yes, sir. For you'll change not only things in your life, but you'll be a greater service for those in the church and those that you'll be interceding for. You'll never know exactly, nor they, what things you turned in this life. But I'll show you in the days to come when you join with me in that place where you and I will enjoy eternity together and the family is all gathered. So intercede often for your family in the church and your family in blood, kindred, kinship. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise. You're the one, Jesus. You're the one, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glorify you. Let's just worship and we praise you, Jesus.
Worship.
Let you go in just a few minutes. I just wanted to, we were going to, and we'll put these back at the back door. This was a prophecy from Sunday. And then we were going to share on more on the sword of the Spirit. But let me just read a couple of swords of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We'll have this back at the back. The Lord said this, Sunday said, what holds back more miracles than what you know is emotions, says the Spirit of the Lord. Waiting on something as a sign or a feeling to pass over you or through you to believe. But I say unto you that my word is the beginning of all faith. Stepping out into that place and laying hold on it, that's the word, against all feelings, against all emotions, and against everything that would present itself as a living argument to the mind. When I catch that, I think, Lord, what are you saying there, living argument? Well, pain is a great preacher. It really is. It seems to be testifying of something. You say, well, these are the facts. The truth is the truth. But facts are, as Ronald Reagan said, they're stubborn things sometimes. But against all living argument to the mind and standing in that place and saying, Lord, against all evidence, I hold your evidence in highest regard, says the Spirit of grace. In other words, keep that mode of operation. Don't let that which belongs to the soul realm. Stop that which is provided for you in the spirit realm, says the Spirit of grace. Let these things be accessible to you. Bypass those places by faith and reach out and receive that which I have provided for you against all arguments, against all things, says the Spirit of the Lord. And when these things are believed, when they're stood on and believed, then you'll see them come to pass in the natural realm, and the things will materialize just like you're believing for, says the Spirit of grace. Now this, that was short. This one's another short one, but this is came from the Grace Christian in Dayton over the weekend. And the Lord, it has, the Lord said, don't focus on emotions, what you feel, or sign for something to be believed for. But the Lord said in this one, he said, the person giving it says, yes, I just hearing the Lord say, why, and this is the Lord saying, he said, why have you stopped believing in the power of prayer? Why have you stopped? Now, this is an internal question the Lord is asking the body. And everyone has to judge themselves. Why have you stopped when you say, I haven't stopped? But the Lord would say unto you, then why have you stopped praying? Because if because you believed that the one you're praying to is able to answer. Let me go back, because it seems like I've muddied it a little bit. The Lord says, why have you stopped believing in the power of prayer? Why have you stopped? Why have you stopped when you say, I haven't stopped? But the Lord would say unto you, then why have you stopped praying? Because you believed that the one you're praying is able to answer, that he would intervene, that he would interject, that he would send his spirit. So why have you stopped believing? Why have you stopped believing that prayer could move mountains? Why have you stopped believing, throwing up your hands and said, what's the point? Return to me, says the Lord. Return to me. Believe once again. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. For some of you and for some of your situations, the only thing that will help is prayer. It's the only thing. There's nothing you can do to fix it. No power or control that you have that can change it. So begin to pray once again. Begin to seek me once again, Lord Jesus. That the person was saying, and this is in italics, Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. Prayer is our lifeline. Prayer is our lifeline. Present day speakings and the things that the Lord has given to all of us as blueprints to believe him for, as we were going to continue on and teach on, and we'll do that later, on the sword of the Spirit, which we have already in times past. But speaking those things and declaring those things, as in the things that the Lord says to us personally or as a church. And he said a few things in the prophecy that came 10 minutes ago. Hallelujah. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Those of you that are here, most everybody knows, and those that are watching, we were just praying for Homer's granddaughter who just had a severe accident. And we were waiting in the presence of God for her healing. And we believe that when we prayed, something happened. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and praise, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Lord, you're so worthy. still your presence, Lord. We just feel your presence. You just feel that presence. We worship you. Your presence. Say that presence. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Holy Spirit. We love you. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, the prayer that we've prayed for Mia, Lord, we know that it came to pass. We're believing. And for the family, and to be saturated in your word as the word came forth in prophecy. And just your presence, Lord. We love you, Father. We give you glory. We praise and magnify you. You alone are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, we were waiting, and I could feel his presence, hallelujah, as we were waiting, hallelujah, in prayer. Hallelujah, amen. So I believe we're done, and we accomplished. It was unusual because we had to take out time to do what the Lord was saying. So, amen. We love you so much. Thank you for coming tonight. We bless you. We will see you Sunday and have a wonderful rest of your week. Amen. Praise God.